In the opening prayer, the brother expressed the desire that those who know the Lord as Savior, who are young, would have a desire for the Word of God. And he quoted the words of the Apostle Peter, that they may grow. And I wonder if, for a very short time, as we are gathered here in this youth conference, if we can consider the subject of growth. Growth and development. There are some young children here. There are many parents. And I'm sure that if a child comes into the world and does not manifest the normal signs of physical growth and development, that parents would become extremely concerned. Parents are gratified as the child increases in age to see the development associated with the various stages. And this is no less true in the Christian life. I wonder if we could look at a few passages of Scripture. First of all, from the Gospel according to Luke. Chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we want to find a verse there, the last verse in that chapter. Luke 1, verse 80. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. In the following chapter, now we have a reference to the Lord Jesus as a child in verse 40. Luke 2, verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then the last verse in that chapter, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. In the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, verse 24. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And finally, in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew on before the Lord. Verse 26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. There's another verse in chapter 3. Verse 19 of chapter 3. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. If there was ever any doubt that growth is a matter which is of the most vital importance to the Lord, the scriptures which we have read should indicate to the youngest in this room how important this matter of growth and development is. My intention is not to speak at length, but by citing scripture to appeal to every conscience as we challenge ourselves with the question, have I been growing? Have I been developing? The Apostle Peter, as he wrote at the end of his second epistle, gives this exhortation, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How gratifying it is to observe physical development. And as young people come along, and take advantage of educational opportunities, how pleased parents are to see educational growth, but physical development, educational attainment, all mean nothing if spiritual development is neglected. And we can cite no better example than that of the Lord Jesus as a child. How pleasing it was to watch him as he grew. And we read the words of Scripture. Not only is it recorded that he grew, but it is also recorded that he waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. We read that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And I wonder, how is it with you? How is it with me? We've been looking at assembly principles. We've been looking at the testimony of God. And Scripture records that the ascended Lord gave gifts. And these gifts were given for specific purposes. In the book of Ephesians, having noted in verse 11 that the ascended Lord gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, goes on to say, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Divine resources are placed at the disposal of the church of God. And we heard this evening who constitute the church. And these gifts are given. And as they are exercised, it is for the purpose, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What is our response? As we are exposed to the word of God as it comes to us from his servants, do we despise it? If so, it is little wonder that many of us remain stunted. I'd like to refer and allude to the experience of those at Corinth. In the first epistle and in chapter 3, the apostle, in writing to this church, laments. In chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And listen carefully to the words of the apostle. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. How distressing. And how it must have grieved the heart of the apostle as he wrote to these dear saints who had come to know the Lord, as I'm sure many of you here have. In the discussion group today, there were many who said, I'm saved. There were some who said, I'm saved and baptized. There are some who said, I'm saved and baptized and breaking bread. But I wonder, are you manifesting signs of growth? As the testimony of God is presented to you, are you saying, that is too high for me? God the Spirit is able to take the word of God and apply it to your heart and to my heart so that there would be growth and development. In closing, I'd like to turn to the book of Hebrews, the epistle to the Hebrews. And we want to close with an observation and an appeal. And the observation comes out of verse 12 of chapter 5. Hebrews 5, verse 12. Here are these Hebrew saints. Rich history. Rich legacy. But listen to the words of the writer to the Hebrews in verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong drink meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What are you feeding on? What do you find palatable? What can you take? Are you still a babe drinking milk when you should have gone on and matured to solid food? If, as you challenge yourself, you find that there is some deficiency in your spiritual diet, which is stunting your growth, then the appeal I leave with you comes from verse 1 of chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to maturity.
just briefly. I know what time. Yeah, just before we finish, just a few. Just before we finish, just a few thoughts just to back up on what Brother Howard has mentioned. I want us to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I just pick out a couple words that we need to take seriously on board if we have to grow into maturity. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 13 says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Part of verse 14 says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." Verse 15, "And meditate upon these things." Verse 16, the first part says, "Take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine." Amen. Briefly, if we have to go into maturity, the Bible must become the number one book in our lives. We know that we have been faced with many, many things that occupy our time. The television, the internet, the music, so many things that challenge our minds, or take away our time that we shall spend in the Word of God. If we have to grow, it is not what the brother says, it is what the Word of God says. Young people, we must love the Word of God as how we love to eat, we love to play, we love to do many things. The Word of God must become a daily, daily source of food in our lives. If we neglect to read the Word of God, the devil will take a hold of our lives. So if you want to grow into maturity, we must take heed or give ourselves unto reading. Secondly, meditate upon the things which we have learned. It is not just enough to read the Bible for our reading's sake, but read and understand what you have read. When I was young, I used to take just 3 verses every day. And I spent the entire day thinking over these 3 verses. And that helped me. So from 3, I may go to 6, 7, 8. But begin systematically taking some small verses. Think carefully what the words mean. You may have to use a concordance as some other helpful things to understand the meaning. But do so and meditate upon these words very well. And I want to say this before I move on, that when you meditate upon the Word of God, it blocks out the negative thoughts in our minds. When you meditate upon the Word of God, when temptation comes, the Word of God will be able to give us the power to resist these temptations. We meditate upon so many things. Meditate simply means to think carefully what we have read. We spend time thinking about so many things that we would have seen on the television screen, on the internet. But think about the words that we have read. Make sure we understood it carefully and meditate upon them day and night. Let it be part of your life. Thirdly, we must not neglect the gift that is given unto us. Every believer has a gift or gifts given to us by the Lord Jesus or by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we may think that I am not learned enough. I don't have enough education to do something. That is not true. We can do something for the Lord. What we need amongst us as brethren is able bodies. Many of us are not getting any younger. We are all getting older. But we need you young people to stand up and be counted for Jesus. Stand up and say, "I will do this for God." But we must know what our gift is, and that comes from spending time with the Lord. Having a quiet time, a time when you and the Lord are alone, where you speak to Him, and He speaks back to you. When you read the Word of God, He speaks to you. When you pray, you speak to Him. It's a conversation, two-way. He speaks to you and you speak back to Him. And He makes known to you what He wants you to do. But He doesn't look for perfection. What He looks for is availability. There's none of us here that is perfect. None of us. Even as older as we get, we have so many faults that sometimes when you look at us, you can count it among the faults. But the Lord is looking not for perfection, but for availability. Let's make ourselves available to Him. And finally, it says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. We may think that doctrine is not important. Doctrine is what the Word of God says. Some of you may be gathered to a fellowship where the pastor says it all. And the pastor in what they call stands as the authority on the Word of God. And so, for many of you, sometimes you are not interested in reading the Word of God because it's only what pastor says. Well, forget about that this night. We have to take heed, take special attention unto what the Word of God says. The doctrine of the Bible is not what the brethren says. It's not what Grace and Truth say. It's not what, as we were called, saved souls say. It's what the Word of God says. Now, we have been challenged by many things, and I'll just briefly name some of it and just leave it as it is. We have been challenged in these days by the woman's place in the church. Some say, we're keeping the sisters dumb, so I need to go to a fellowship where the sisters can talk. Some say the sisters here, the hair on the head is their covering, so they don't need to wear a covering on their head. And there are so many things, the music and everything. But it's what the Word of God says. Take heed to what the Word of God says. Young people, we will never go wrong. And I want to close by saying that we need to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Young people, God wants your hands. All of us here can do something for God. Every single person can do something for God. Don't waste our life. Don't waste our time. Time is not on our side. It's precious. Let us use it for God. Amen.
Now, I thank God for the encouragements that the two brothers have given us. And very, very briefly, I want to look again at a couple of things that some of us were looking at this morning out of the first epistle to the Thessalonians. Can you turn there with me very quickly? Think of the Thessalonians as an assembly and compare them with a human being. In chapter 1 and in verses 9 and 10, the Thessalonians turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. So in a sense, we want to relate this to growth. The baby, the assembly is seen as a baby, and in these verses, the baby is born. Brother Mac was speaking about growth. The Lord will have us, as the epistle of Peter says, like newborn babes, to have a thirst for the milk of the Word of God. The Word of God is like milk. And if you have spiritual birth, the new birth, then you should have a desire for that milk. In these two verses, they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. This was real birth. They had the new birth. They had a real desire for spiritual things. The apostle had only been with them 3 Sabbath days. And they turned to God. And they were waiting for his Son. Their baby was born. In chapter 2, we find the apostle saying, in verse 7, but we were gentle among you even as a nurse cherishes her children. Here we find that the baby gets nursed. Are you taking in the milk of the word given by various brothers, given also by the Lord himself as you sit and read his word? So in this second chapter, nursing is very important. Are you taking in what you hear? Are you appreciating what you read? Are you really enjoying what brothers and sisters are sharing with you as young people? Well, the Thessalonians were being nursed by the great apostle who loved them and who cared for young people, who cared for assemblies. But in chapter 3, there's something else that will show if you and I are growing. In chapter 3 and verse 8, the apostle says, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. A baby begins to move around. He holds on to that cradle and stands up for the first time. Parents are amazed when they see this one who was just a newborn in the coming out of the womb is able to stand. Stand up for what you believe. Stand in the face of those who will tell you things that are contrary. But stand up. Have the spiritual strength to live what you believe. The apostle would say to them, if you stand fast in the Lord, we live. It would be a real delight to those who share the word of God with you to see young believers standing firm for Christ. People tell you things to draw you away, but you stand firm and you stand fast in the Lord. So the baby learns to stand. But then in chapter 4, and in the very first verse, there is the idea of growth coming out and development, spiritual development. What does the baby do in this chapter 4 and verse 1? Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. In this chapter, the baby learns to walk. Standing is one thing, but walking is a further development. Are you walking for the Lord? In chapter 5, I discover in verse 8 that this baby has so matured that the baby has become now a warrior. Notice verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and hope, faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Here is a picture of a soldier. So this babe, this assembly that is looked upon as a babe, had developed to the point where now they could war. So they were soldiers. A breastplate is worn by a soldier. I see the defense force and the special unit of the police force are wearing bulletproof vests. That is the idea here of a breastplate. It's a bulletproof vest, if you like. And so it is, the soldier had it on. But not only did he have on a bulletproof vest, if you like, but he was wearing a helmet also. Some years ago in Barbados, a cricket match was being played. And there was one of our fastest bowlers, a man by the name of Charlie Griffith. When he bowled his ball, there was a man called Contractor from India who was facing the bowling. Charlie Griffith's ball was so fast that Contractor ducked because he was sure it was coming at his head. But the thing is, he ducked into it and it knocked him unconscious. Had he been wearing a helmet, he may have been spared. But the point is this, as you grow, protect every part of your being by putting on the whole armor of God. The Lord wants me to grow. The Lord wants you to grow. The Lord wants every Christian to grow. And so he has sent our two brothers to bring before us this important message. Are you growing? One last thing and I stop. It is this. I see a number of young people with cell phones. I am not saying it is a sin to have a cell phone. I have a cell phone. But don't allow the cell phone to control you. It is one of those things that may stunt your growth. How can a cell phone stunt my growth? If I spend more time with my cell phone, texting, calling, whatever else I do, and less time with the Word of God, that is precisely how it is going to stunt your growth. If I spend more time with other people and other things, and less time with God, it is going to stunt my growth. But what the Lord is saying to me tonight is this, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, that you and I would take this very seriously. Oh, that I would take it very seriously and get more into the presence of God and into the Word of God and listen more to the Spirit of God and practice more to be Christ-like, then growth will come. And with growth, there will come blessing. Can we just close our eyes for a word of prayer? Our God and our Father, how we want to thank thee for the example of the Lord Jesus who manifested this growth. Even physically, there was an increase. But, O God, we ask thee that for us there might be that constant spiritual growth and that we would be on guard against things that rob us of such growth. We thank thee for the brothers whom thou hast used, and we thank thee above all for the Lord Jesus who was presented. And we ask that each one of us might turn our eyes on him and fall so in love with him that growth accrues to each one. We ask too for the salvation of precious souls, that some who do not know the Lord Jesus have not yet asked him or invited him into their hearts and lives would do so before it is too late. Cause, O God, that they might be saved eternally. And like the Thessalonians, growth might mark them. We ask your help. We ask your blessing. We give thanks for Jesus' sake. Amen.